Let me tell you something, brother. I pity the fool that don't listen to the new Superhero Deep Dive. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, never let you down, at least I hope I don't, Jason. And I have a great episode for you. This one is kind of intense. I'm going to be talking about Hope Summers today. Let me get my disclaimers out of the way and we will go from there. So the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I do try to post every day with superhero memes. You can catch me on YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive, where I post throughout the week on YouTube, at least 4 times a week. And you can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. All right, so superhero fun fact before I get into Hope Summers. In Captain America, Civil War, and Black Panther, we get scenes of T'Challa and his kin from Wakanda speaking in their own late native tongue. One of the most interesting hidden references in Black Panther is how the words spoken are a variety of Xhosa, a real language spoken prominently in Zimbabwe and South Africa, which are close to where Wakanda is situated in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's pretty awesome right there. That's pretty cool. All right. So, back to Hope Summers. Hope is the first mutant to be born after decimation, an event in which the Scarlet Witch uses her reality-altering superpowers to turn all but 198 of the world's mutants into regular, depowered humans. The moment Hope is born, the mutant-locating computer Cerebro explodes, and soon afterwards, the hunt for her begins. Bom, bom, bom. So this is like a big deal, right? Like, she is the first new mutant born at that time. And the thing about decimation is that it killed a lot of mutants, mainly because there were some that had like drowned because they were water, they could breathe in water. There were some that were flying that fell. Like, there were things that happened where people were in the middle of stuff, and when they reverted back, they couldn't take it. So it caused a lot of problems. Now, Hope's town is attacked by the Purifiers, who use information given to them by the time-traveling Nimrod, who's like a pink sentinel, who warns them of her arrival. Although all the children in town are taken care of, I guess, by the Purifiers, the X-Men Cable manages to come and save Hope. According to Cable, the baby is a messianic figure destined to save both mutant and humankind. The Purifiers and Bishop, however, recall a timeline in which Hope will become the mutant equivalent of the Antichrist and kill a million humans in an instant. The event, known as the 6-Second War, will turn humanity against mutants once again and lead a new era of mutant persecution, creating the dark timeline into which Bishop was born. Later, the baby is kidnapped by the Marauders and delivered to the mutant Mystique, who is disguised as Mr. Sinister. Mystique takes the baby and makes her touch the comatose robe with the intention of waking her from her coma. The mutant Gambit intervenes and takes Hope from Mystique. Believing the baby has died during her rescue, Gambit is amazed to find not only is the baby unharmed, but also Rogue has been awakened from her coma. After an intense battle between the Marauders, the X-Men, and Predator X,
Cyclops decides the baby would be better off with his son Cable and allows him to take her to the future. However, an adamant Bishop decides to track Cable and the baby through time in order to take care of her and prevent the bleak future of his own timeline from happening. So, I like this. Cable and Bishop are both from the future, but not necessarily the same future. So, Bishop is seeing people that were born mutant being branded with M's over their eyes so they can be identified. He is fighting desperately to prevent that because that is what he knows. And that's horrifying, right? Like, we've seen something similar to that in history where people have things tattooed on their arms, like numbers. We've seen that. He is fighting so hard to prevent it. And you can't blame him for this. Like, this is one of those moral things that you can't blame him. And Cable is fighting so hard because in his timeline, she was a messiah figure. She helped so many people. So he is desperately trying to bring that about. You know, it's kind of like the opposite side of the same coin, very literally. So this is interesting. This adds a very good dynamic to her. Now, during one of the first battles with Bishop, Cable's time traveling device is damaged, so he can only jump into the future instead of the past when he needs to escape Bishop each time he finds them. After several jumps into the future, it is revealed that Cable has taken her to a secluded safe haven of New Liberty in the future, where Cable marries a woman named Hope, who is like a mother to the mutant baby. Finding relative peace there, he raises her with Hope until she is 7 years old. But then, New Liberty is invaded by humanoid insects who calls themselves the United States Army. It's not the same. Later calling themselves humanoid Blatarians. Cable fights them and leaves New Liberty with his wife and her in order to make sure that New Liberty does not fall. After spending months in the wasteland, the family is attacked by the president of the insects, from whom Hope manages to save her family by stabbing the insect in his weak spot, since she has been watching Cable fight. Cable questions the president, where he finds out that Bishop, in order to find Hope in the future, has destroyed all the continents in the world and left them uninhabitable except North America in order to box them in, find her, and take care of her. That's insane. That is insane. He's destroying the whole world just to get to her. Like, that's nuts. Cable then takes care of the president and the family moves on. The family encounters a settlement but are met with resistance. Cable takes care of them easily, but not fast enough, as Hope is shot and dies in Cable's arms while the little girl watches. The little girl sees Cable bury the closest thing she ever had to a mother and departs with him. After arriving at a church, the pastor asks the name of the child. In that moment, Cable decides to name her Hope Summers in honor of her adoptive mother. Very nice. In the Messiah War storyline, which ran through Cable and X-Force, Hope Summers was the center of conflict between the forces of Strife, Cable, and X-Force. The Messiah War was part of a three-part story that began with X-Men Messiah Complex. During the Messiah War, Hope was kidnapped by Cable's clone Strife in league with Bishop. So Bishop is going all out. He is destroying the world to box her in, and he is going to Cable's clone, who is his worst enemy, to try to get this taken care of. Like, that's how afraid he is of his future happening. And it almost looks like in his effort to do this, he is starting to create his own future. Isn't that crazy? Now Hope watched as Strife tortured Warpath until Cable, Wolverine, and Elixir came to their rescue. In the following fight, Hope survived along with the rest of the X-Force and Cable, though Bishop lost an eye to Wolverine and had his time travel device damaged. When Cable and Hope were forced to time travel again, Hope resisted because she wanted to stay with X-23 and Elixir, with whom she bonded with during the events of the Messiah War. She kicked Cable in mid-jump, stranding herself and Cable 2 years apart. They eventually reunited, with Hope now 11 years old instead of 9. In the four-part series, A Girl Named Hope, or A Girl Called Hope, Hope watches over Cable as he sleeps, and she says, "I would come back from the dead to take care of them," referring to anyone who would harm Cable, with the Phoenix emblem reflecting in Hope's eyes again as she looks in the fire. As the short series closes, it's revealed that Hope has taken care of many of the evolved wolves in order to keep Cable safe. A promotional image for the event was released depicting two versions of Hope, one angelic, emphasizing her role as a savior, and the other as evil and surrounded by the Phoenix Force, depicting her as a destroyer. During the X-Men Second Coming story arc, Hope manifests various X-Men powers, such as Armor's psionic armor, who we did a deep dive on, Colossus organic steel, and takes care of Lang and Creed. Nightcrawler saves her from Bastion, dying in the process, and with the assistance of the X-Men, she eradicates Bastion and shatters the dome surrounding the city. At a celebratory bonfire, Emma Frost notices the flames around Hope start to take shape of the Phoenix and triggers a flashback to the Sisterhood storyline, where Jean freed her from Lady Mastermind's illusion after giving her the warning to prepare. Seized with terror, Emma runs to Cyclops to warn him, but before she can, Cyclops tells her that Cerebro has found 5 new mutants that have appeared around the globe. This is crazy because they're not, and I like how they're handling this right now. Marvel did a really good job in this beginning, handling her character so far, because they're not really giving her a tendency one way or another. They're showing both sides, and it's kind of like which way is she gonna go? Now, after the events of Second Coming, 5 new mutants are detected by Cerebro. Hope is then tasked with the mission to help find these 5 lights. Hope finds the first of the 5 lights in Canada, attempting to take care of herself by jumping off a building. Hope touches the girl, Lori Tremet, whose mutation is Jumpstarted, which is a power display similar to Sage's, and she develops an ability to fly. Introducing herself, she also agrees to follow Hope, and being in Canada, Hope expressed an interest in discovering her biological family, to which Cyclops agreed and organized an escort team of Rogue, Dr. Nemesis, and Cypher. Once the group arrived in Alaska, they discovered the identity of Louise Spalding. They visited her grave, as Louise was one of the casualties of the Purifiers when they took care of everyone in the hospital. And Hope was able to meet her maternal grandmother. Although she did not reveal her biological connection, she learned that Louise was considered a fiery redhead with a strong will, free spirit, and a good head on her shoulders, which is right up Cyclops' alley, right? He does like the redheads. Anyway, she worked as a firefighter in or near Cooperstown, Alaska, and didn't show any desire to settle down until she got impregnated with Hope. Later, she is called to Mexico by Cecilia Reyes and Cyclops, where the second of the 5 lights lives. This new mutant is a boy named Gabriel Coelho, whose speed powers caused him to move so fast he had become invisible to the naked eye. Cyclops taps into Cecilia's powers to create a force field around his room so they would not lose him before Hope Summers could arrive to help. Hope manages to help him gather control of his abilities, however, it is also revealed that his powers made him age slightly. Accompanied by Storm, Hope finds the third of the five lights praying in a small church in Nigeria, surrounded by armed men who wish to take care of her, as they believe she is a witch child due to her newly manifesting power over fire and ice. That's a cool power set. Hope manages to help this newer mutant, a girl named Idi Okonkwo, calm herself and gather control of her abilities. As Storm and Hope proceed to leave with Idi, the men attack, but Idi protects them from harm using her ability over fire to destroy the men's vehicles. She then opens her eyes to reveal her right pupil is blue, manifesting ice, and her left pupil is orange, manifesting fire. Later, Rogue, Hope, and the lights arrive in Miami Beach to search for the fourth light, a boy named Tion, in the hope of having him join the X-Men. Their first interaction with Tion results in the feral boy's attempt at mating with Hope. A battle ensues and is promptly finished by Hope, who uses her power to tame Tion. From this point, Tion views her as his master. In the series Generation Hope, Hope and the other four lights, along with Rogue, Cyclops, and Wolverine, travel to Tokyo to find the fifth so-called light, a mutant boy named Kenji Uedo. Like the four new mutants emerge since M-Day, Kenji's mutant powers manifested and caused some horrible side effects. He impales his agent with a tendril when the agent pressured him about his contribution for the Future is a Four-Letter Word event. He bursts through the apartment building and onto the street, where Cyclops and Wolverine are investigating. Kenji pulls down the Blackbird, carrying Rogue, Hope, and the rest of the lights. Tion takes off after one of Kenji's tendrils and tears it apart. He releases a girl trapped inside, but is utterly ineffective against him. Hope attempts to make contact with Kenji in order to complete his transformation, but he seemingly avoids her touch. She presses on after him and encounters him within his apartment. She tells him she's there to help him, and he explains how his throat slid out of his neck and danced like an eel when this began. And now she's here to help? He turns around and grabs Hope, and a large explosion follows. It turns out to be a telepathic message. Then she falls from the sky and Gabriel saves her, although she's unconscious. Kenji is blasted away by Idi, and Cyclops and Wolverine try to take care of him, but Hope awakes and with the lights tries to make contact with Kenji, and she is successful. She passes out from the strain though. This is intense. Later, she and the five lights travel to Utopia, where they all decide to stay and hone their powers. After Dr. Nemesis examines Hope and four of the lights, and determines the specifications of each of their powers, Hope and Gabriel share a kiss during a moment of privacy. Soon afterwards, after training the lights to use guns, Magneto introduces Hope to his old and dear friend, Charles Xavier. Hope takes issue with Charles calling his school a school for gifted youngsters, thinking that it just increases the line between human and mutant. Instead, she suggests that a better future would dissolve the us and them mentality altogether. Interesting. I wonder how that would work. While in one of Emma Frost's classes, Hope decides that what she is learning isn't useful to her, and she leads the lights out of the classroom. Frost tries to stop them, but Hope just tells her to stay out of her mind and out of her way. Back at her quarters, Hope gets a letter from Hank McCoy, telling her that while most of the people on Utopia are good, they will still try and craft her in their image, and that her best course of action would just be to leave. Spurred on by the letter, Hope goes and talks to Wolverine, but Logan simply tells her that she's not a fool, and he wants to keep Hope at arm's length for her safety. Hope then goes to see Cyclops, whom she tells that she will welcome his support, but he should stay out of her way if any of that changes. Hope and the Lights leave Utopia. Cyclops accepts his agreement, telling Hope that he isn't a jailer and that she and the Lights are welcome to come and go however they like. So what do you guys think of this? Like, that's kind of a very weird declaration, right? Like, she's just going to all these adults, all these experienced people, and being like, stay out of my way. And they're like, all right, sounds good. That doesn't sit right with me. That seems off. But in her defense, she was raised by Cable, fighting, basically ever since she was born, she's been fighting for her life from Bishop, you know? So there's a lot that's going on, and she's had to deal with it. So her maybe being that, with that kind of mentality, is just how she was raised. That's what she knows. I don't know. A sixth light is located in Germany, and Hope and the Lights hurry to get there with their new liaison, Shadowcat, where the German authorities have cordoned off a hospital. Gabriel quickly tries to enter the hospital to scout the area, but he falls unconscious before he's even able to enter it. Lori is sent to retrieve Gabriel, but likewise falls unconscious. Tion rushes to retrieve them both, but seems somehow unaffected. Hope deduces that a telepath is at work, and that Tion is somehow immune to it. Kenji states that he also has somewhat of an immunity to telepathy, and hooks a cord from his body into Hope and each of the Lights to share his immunity. This group, sans Idy, who has stayed outside with Shadowcat, enters the hospital and find hundreds of people unconscious on the floor. They search the building and find the sixth light, who is revealed to be a baby still in the womb of its mother. The baby is terrified to leave the womb and rises all of the unconscious people into a zombie-like state to protect it. Additionally, it extends its influence to the area outside of the hospital, bringing Shadowcat and Idy, amongst others, under its control. That's crazy, right? Because this baby, it's not thinking coherently. It's purely reacting to this. Like, I don't want this. I'm going to try to stop it. And that's just how it happens. So anyway, Lori breaks off from Kenji's protection, and she is able to get Idy out of the area of influence by flying straight up. Lori and Idy then rush back down to the building and are able to hook back into Kenji's protection before they are taken control of. Kenji then plugs into the Six Lights' mother so Hope can talk to the child telepathically. Hope and each of the Lights try to talk to the child, but all are rejected one after another. However, Tion is able to talk to the child, using simplistic language to convince it to embrace life. The child is then born, and Hope's touch suppresses the child's X gene until it's older. The celebration is cut short, however, as the group leaves the hospital. Shadowcat tells them that Tion's parents have sued for custody of their son.
They want their baby!
Alright, sorry. On Utopia, Cyclops and Evangeline Whedon both believe that the cause for Tion's custody is hopeless. Hope, however, remains confident that they will keep Tion because it's his choice to stay, and instead of focusing on getting code names for the lights, focuses on getting code names for the lights. Gabriel chooses Velocidad, which is Spanish for speed, while Hope insists that Hope is already her code name. Kenji tosses around ideas such as Derivative and Rei, which is Japanese for zero, and a reference to Rei Ayaname from Neon Genesis Evangelion, before settling on simply zero. the group chooses Primal for Teon, and Lori remains with Transonic. Idy decides to no longer use the girl who wouldn't burn, and decides to go by Oya, in reference to Yoruba goddess of fire and magic. I might need to do something on Oya, she seems really cool. But anyways, as the group decides to leave for court, Hope walks in on Zero working on a painting of her, which he quickly destroys because she saw it before it was ready. Several witnesses take the stand, including Primal's mother, who gives a heartfelt testimony about wanting her son back. After she leaves the stand, Primal himself rushes the stand to give his own testimony, which is surprisingly well-spoken and deep. He explains that he is no longer sentient in the way that everyone else is, and that he sees the modern world through his primitive instincts. Give him a refrigerator and he will eat the food inside in order to satisfy his nutritional needs. Give him a courtroom and he will give the court a well-thought-out speech to get his needs. That's pretty interesting. He requests that the court recognizes his hyper-instinctive intelligence the same way it recognizes robotic and even alien intelligence. He also hopes that his parents understand that he is happier now than he has ever been. Primal wins the right to stay with Hope on Utopia, but Zero wonders if he is actually happy, or if he is just lying to stay with Hope. That's like jealous boyfriend energy right there. JBE? I don't know. Alright. He talks with Transonic about how Hope has changed them all, and they both agree that something isn't right about it. Zero reveals that Judas was another codename he was considering spinning back at their messiah Hope, and Transonic wonders if they can both be Judas. In the United Kingdom, a boy named Zishan is talking to his friends about how difficult it must truly be to be a mutant, especially if you get an uncool power. Almost immediately afterwards, Zishan X-Gene activates, and Hope and the lights begin to head towards Zishan, whose skin has started to melt off his body. One of Zishan's friends takes pictures and videos of Zishan and posts them online, quickly getting thousands of hits. Greatly saddened, Zishan takes a steak knife into the bathroom to take care of himself. All of the lights feel this, and Transonic jumps out of the plane to get to Zishan quicker, but however, it's too late, as Zishan is already taken care of. Hope yells at Zishan's friends before returning to Utopia. 4 weeks later, an enraged Zero is seen outside the building where Zishan's friend lives, and he is about to take care of him with a drone, but is stopped by Wolverine, who tells them that it gets better, kid. That's crazy. That's crazy. I can't imagine what that is, like how that is. After X-Men's return to Utopia, Hope had initially refused to even speak to him due to X-Men's connection with her surrogate father, Cable. However, when X-Men puts himself in harm's way in the Danger Room, testing his newly restrained powers, Hope saves him and offers to teach him some non-power-based combat techniques. X-Men agrees, and the two start training. In the Fear Itself crossover event, Hope is part of Cyclops' Plan 2. In defeating Kurth, the Breaker of Stone, who was leading his trail of destruction to San Francisco, Cyclops gathers all the mutants of Utopia behind Hope and gives her free rein to use any and all of their powers to remove Kurth's telepathy-blocking helmet. Hope is successful in doing this, but is rendered unconscious from the stress of using all the mutant powers. Unfortunately, this plan is unsuccessful, as telepathy is revealed worthless against the worthy. Kurth simply continues his march of terror helmetless, walking past the unconscious Hope. Hope is later shown in Utopia's infirmary, along with Emma Frost, who had been telepathically injured by Kurth when Hope removed his helmet. Emma is shown having a nightmare about the Phoenix, who feeds into Emma's fears that Cyclops will never truly love her as much as he did Jean. This nightmare Phoenix manages to convince Emma that Hope is Jean reincarnated, and tells Emma that she knows what to do. Emma, in a trance-like state, takes her pillow and heads towards Hope, about to smother her. However, she is stopped by Namor, and then they kiss afterwards, because that's what happens when you're around Namor. You're gonna end up kissing him. Or wanting to, at least. I don't know. Alright. Hope watches news reports of Sentinels gathering after Quentin Quire's attack on the UN alongside Cyclops, Wolverine, Emma Frost, Magneto, and others. She is perturbed by the prospect of an oncoming attack and muses that such situations always end with dead mutants because people are always afraid of them. Later, after Oya and Transonic leave with several of the X-Men to attend the opening of a mutant history museum, Hope and Velocidad go on a date. The date appears to be cut short, however, as the new Hellfire Club attacks the museum and defeats most of the X-Men. Hope and Velocidad arrive at the museum to discover that Oya has saved the day by taking care of most of the Hellfire Grunts based on Cyclops' orders to do what she thought was necessary. This causes Hope to chastise Transonic for losing her head during the battle and leaving Oya in that position. But Transonic explains that she is not a soldier except when Hope is around to influence her. Zero asks Oya if she is okay, but she horrifies Hope and the other lights by asking if there's anyone else she needs to take care of. Wow, so she's like in a bloodlust at this point. Like, she's not thinking straight. She's not seeing straight. She is just hyper-focused on that one thing, and that one thing is scary. Alright, Hope was not okay about the fact that both Logan and Scott want Oya to leave with Logan, but after a conversation with Transonic, she accepted it. Hope also asked Pixie, who we did a deep dive on, not to leave, as her team needed a teleporter to avoid being too late to help other lights, just like when they were too late to help Zishan. No Girl is later also recruited by Zero. And during the mission, the team finds the manifestation of a new light, who is later revealed to be an amnesiac Sebastian Shaw. The front lobe of No Girl is destroyed, and Zero uses his powers to make her a body. Hope invites Shaw to also join the lights, but when they return to Utopia, the team is attacked by the former members of the Morlocks. Hope is forced to control Zero's powers to stop them, and after this, Zero loses confidence in Hope and rebels against her. Zero, using implants he had placed into the brains of some of Utopia's inhabitants, manipulates them into clamoring for Hope's non-living status. No Girl later takes care of Zero by disrupting his powers, also destroying the body he gave her. Her brain endures though, however, and Nemesis and Danger build her a new containment unit to house her brain. Now, No Girl is basically just a floating brain. She is female, that's why it's No Girl. Alright. Before Cable can fire around into Red Hulk's head, he hears a voice screaming no. To his surprise, it's Hope and Cyclops who were brought by Blacksmith to stop him. Hope immediately hugs him and pleads to him to stop trying to take out the Avengers. Cyclops feels that Cable has lost control of his mind due to the techno-organic virus. Now here's the funny thing about Cable. Half of Cable's body looks like a machine or a cyborg. And it's because of this virus that he has called the techno-organic virus. It's like slowly it's trying to take over his body and his telepathy is kind of keeping it at bay. He's got a clone named Strife who is all human looking and has the same powers. So Strife constantly tries to mess with Cable to say that Cable's actually a clone since he's part machine at this point. And it makes so much sense, especially if you're the clone, you want to be the real version, and you look more like the real version than the real version does. So it's awesome. He is an amazing villain, and should I do a deep dive on him? Let me know. Like, if you think I should start covering some villains, I am all about it, because it's awesome. But anyway, let me get back to this. Okay, so anyway, Cyclops feels that Cable has lost control of his mind due to the techno-organic virus. Cyclops attempts to free the Avengers, only to be held at gunpoint by his son Cable, as he explains why it has to be done. Hope intervenes by saying that she has grown and can make her own decision. You know, which is what all kids do, like, I'm old enough to do what I want. I can make my own decisions. You're not even my real daddy. I don't think she said that, but you know what I'm saying. Cable states, the mission has been compromised due to the fact that Hope isn't supposed to be there in the first place. She ultimately manages to permanently cure Cable of the techno-organic virus by completely burning it out of his system once and for all. Cable gives confirmation to Cyclops that Hope is indeed an aspect of the Phoenix Force. That's crazy, right? Why is it that, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but, you know, like, Jean Grey was the Phoenix, and then, you know, the Phoenix has kind of jumped around to other people. At one point, it was, like, split between 5 or 6 different people. Cyclops has always been around it. I don't think that Jean Grey is necessarily the conduit for the Phoenix. I think Cyclops is like a beacon for the Phoenix. I don't know. This is my opinion. I could be wrong. Alright, so in Avengers vs. X-Men, AVX, Hope is targeted by the Phoenix Force. The Avengers want to take her into custody to protect her from the Phoenix Force, but the X-Men want her to be able to accept it as it could help revive the dwindling mutant race. So they're seeing her as like a jumpstart battery, basically. As the two teams start fighting over this, Cyclops orders Emma to take Hope away so that she could be safe. As the fight continues, Wolverine and Spider-Man sneak into the building only to be confronted by a fiery Hope Summers. Around her were the unconscious teammates from Generation Hope. As Wolverine moved to apparently take care of Hope, he's overwhelmed by Hope, who uses the power of Phoenix on him and escapes the compound. While on the run, Hope creates a device that camouflages her power signature and makes her untraceable. After stealing a ship, she strikes a deal with Wolverine. Essentially, she wants the opportunity to contain the Phoenix Force, but if she is unable to do so, then she will allow Wolverine to take care of her. However, Hope is betrayed when Wolverine alerts the Avengers to her scheme. The team meets Hope and Wolverine on the blue area of the moon, and before they can contain Hope, the X-Men also arrive. The Phoenix Force arrives and, instead of possessing Hope, possesses each of the 5 X-Men present. They take her now comatose body back to Earth and, as one, declare plans to heal her. However, she is subsequently rescued by the Avengers and the Scarlet Witch, who take her away to safety, with Iron Fist suggesting that she hide in the city of Kunlun. Now, the Phoenix Five, that was Cyclops, Emma Frost, Colossus, Magic, and there was one more, I can't think of who it is. There was one more, Namor, I think? I think it was Namor. I can't remember. If you can think of it, let me know in the comments. That would be outstanding. But yeah, it was Phoenix Five, and they were insane. Like, they were crazy powerful. So, having learned about a previous Phoenix host who was also trained to become the Iron Fist of her era, Hope visit Yuti, but Yuti is unable to help her directly, instead instructing her to learn from Spider-Man based on a vision he had. Although uncertain what he can teach her, Spider-Man proceeds to tell Hope about his mantra of great power requiring great responsibility, giving her more to think about in her role as the host for the Phoenix. Spider-Man later teaches her about patience and waiting for one's moment when it comes, and to step up to the challenge. Guided by these lessons, Hope fights alongside the Scarlet Witch against Cyclops when he takes on the full power of the Phoenix Force and ascends to Dark Phoenix as he takes care of Professor X, allowing her to not only take on the power of the Phoenix and restore the mutant race, but also have the power to give up that power afterwards. With her destiny fulfilled, she is shown departing Utopia to find a new place for herself. After the events of Avengers vs. X-Men, the Scarlet Witch and Captain America question Hope about what she wants to do with her life. Hope decides to attempt to live a normal life. She does not enroll at Jean Grey's Academy, but enrolls in a regular public school. Around this time, Cable wakes up from his coma and is cured of the techno-organic virus thanks to Hope, who has been searching for him, even sleeping in alleyways some nights. The Avengers even checked up on her. Cable disappears off the grid, but he secretly watches Hope in the shadows and even lets her know personally that it's not her job to watch him, but for him to watch over her, like any father would do. Like, he's taken on a full father role in this, and it's great. Hope has been living a normal life for 4 weeks now. She speaks to a psychiatrist named Dr. Townley due to the Avengers making the sessions mandatory. She now has foster parents that watch 27 hours of television a week, and their excessive smiling makes her uncomfortable. Because you gotta remember, she has been born and raised in nothing but conflict. So having 27 hours a week to watch TV, having like that kind of nothing to do and smiling, that's unnerving. Let's see here. Okay, she feels that her foster parents can't compare to Cable, and Domino is speaking to Boom Boom via communication link about how she made a sucker out of a client to pay her 3 times the amount for a job to rescue a professor from MIT she considers easy money. Turns out Hope had hacked into her files and beat her to the punch. Domino is surprised to see Hope again, and Hope makes a deal with Domino, the missing professor, in exchange for Domino using her luck powers to find Cable. Domino and Hope locate Cable in a junkyard in Nebraska, and Hope becomes enraged and mimics Cable's telekinesis. She explains that while she was looking all over the world for him, he was there and didn't bother to reach out to her the minute he woke up from his coma. Cable responds with, "I miss you too, kid, every damn day." Hope's rage stops and she hugs him, just like any father-daughter relationship, like any good father-daughter relationship. You know, you can be mad, but when that love shows through, it's overwhelming. Alright, suddenly, Cable has another headache, and Hope sees visions of a future event. Cable then passes out and awakens later on, only to see Hope's vision on television. It's like a vision on a vision, with another vision on the side. Hope makes a surprise vision to the Jean Grey Academy to see Idy on graduation day. In the new X-Force team, Hope is in a coma after being infected with a virus that infected both her and Cable. It was revealed that she was able to manifest herself in a digital avatar by copying the powers of a brain-dead mutant Meme. I don't know. In order to remain with Cable's team, she had chosen to keep this a secret from him, adopting Meme's identity. However, her ruse is discovered by Psylocke, who chose to keep Hope's identity secret. Hope's secret ended up being revealed to all her teammates by Mojo, leading to an argument between her and Cable. After Forget-Me-Not delivers a message from the real meme, whose residual consciousness possessed the drones in X-Force's headquarters, to Hope, she agreed to Meme's life support being turned off, thus letting Meme die and putting Hope back to being in a coma. Hope then convinces Phantom X, who now has godlike superpowers, to attack the X-Force and is able to copy his powers and remove the virus from herself and defeat Phantom X. She then takes charge of the X-Force and fires Cable for leading the team down a morally questionable route. Wow, like this girl, they are putting her in so many things that it's kind of raising some flags for me, and I'll get into it later. But with the majority of the X-Men believed to be dead following their battle against Legion and X-Men, Cyclops and Wolverine's ragtag team of X-Men created a hit list of lingering threats that need to be dealt with. Among the threats, is the Mutant Liberation Front, who count former X-Men Hope Summers and Banshee among their ranks. Hope isn't dealing with Cable's death and extermination very well, and has hooked up with the terrorist group called Mutant Liberation Front. She has her sights set on assassinating, and this is in the comics, so she has her mindset on taking care of Senate candidate Prestel, and the X-Men attempt to stop her. Hope believes she and Cyclops both failed Cable, who means a lot to both of them. She points her pistol at Cyclops just as Wolverine attacks via Magic's teleportation, which surprises Hope, causing her gun to go off and the bullet to connect directly with Cyclops' right eye. This is insane. It's crazy, but they are doing so much here. So, Hope participated in Scott's survivor retrieval mission, while the major and minor heroes of Midgard did battle with the invading forces of Malekith, making hit-and-run passes against enemy forces headed by Sabretooth, working in league with the Dark Council while running the beachhead of fallen New York. Hope would then begin to realize her full potential while working with the newly reborn X in making a better society away from most human civilization. She now works in tandem with a core group of mutants known as the Five, which is Elixir, Proteus, Egg, and Tempest, which we did a deep dive on Tempest. She is amazing. In order to revitalize those whom were lost battling the Orcus group, she would help them resurrect her fallen mutant brethren by enhancing their powers to a degree needed for stable physiological new genesis. What do you guys think? Like, this is her history, and man, is it packed. Like, there's so many things involving her history. I didn't think I could take much of anything out, because there's so much there, but it's all developing her character. This is a girl that is being put on a pedestal, and there's just utter insanity surrounding her. But I want to know what you guys think. Like I said, you can let me know via email if you want. It's b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. And you can catch me on YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. Please comment, like, subscribe, share. If you have fun facts about her, if you have ideas for the character, if you have critiques, comments, if you have requests for future episodes, let me know, because I am 100% about it. I try to acknowledge everyone, and yeah, let's talk about her. But in the meantime, let me get her powers. Hope Summers is an Omega level mutant with the ability of unspecified limits to psychically manipulate and mimic the powers of other mutants. This ability is primarily manifested as mimicry of the superhuman mutant abilities of those near her, However, she has demonstrated additional powers. When she was born, she unleashed a massive psionic pulse that destroyed Cerebro. She also proved to be immune to Rogue's newly lethal absorption power, and her touch erased all the previous memories and abilities Rogue had absorbed, including those of the Hecatomb. She also cured Rogue of the Strain 88 virus. And during Messiah Complex, when the 3-in-1 tried to search for her, when she was kidnapped by the Marauders, she was able to block and disrupt Cerebro from finding her. Hope Summer can also mimic mutant powers at their utmost capacity. However, she generates power levels that are potentially dangerous to people and the environment around her. Prodigy describes her as a metaphorical voodoo doll of the mutant race. And in the Messiah War storyline, after mentally scanning her, Strife hints that she has the same powers as he does, which is telekinesis and telepathy, and is potentially far more powerful than he is. Her ability to mimic the powers of other mutants is restricted by the fact that they have to be near enough for her to mimic. When near Cable, Hope showed some telepathic and telekinetic powers at her command by stopping a bullet fired at her by Bishop. She then generated extremely powerful energy blasts that overloaded Bishop's own ability to absorb projected energy. She can also jumpstart a newly emerging mutant power, though to an undefined extent, and can redirect the forces of magnetic fields into negative matter. Hellion also theorizes that she is able to unconsciously enhance mutant abilities, such as his own telekinetic powers, to a level he could not reach before she was around him. She was also seen exhibiting several times the Phoenix Force. Later, it was revealed that she is actually an aspect of the Phoenix Force itself, which enabled her to operate independently from the Force and become the White Phoenix of the Crowned, even if it was just temporarily. In House of X, Hope's true abilities come to light, wherein she can modulate as well as control the abilities of other mutants. Having used her powers in conjunction with others in order to resurrect their fallen members. Thanks to Cable's training, Hope has some knowledge of advanced technology. During her Avengers vs. X-Men storyline, she was able to construct a portable device capable of masking her presence from Cerebra using components found at a common hardware store. So, basically, she has the ability to take anyone's powers, copy them, and magnify them to like a crazy degree, to an undefined degree that it can be immediately like Omega level. She also has the ability to take other people's abilities and not like just copy them, but like she can enhance other people's abilities if she wants, to where they're working at something like an Omega level, or close to it at least. You know, that's an insane power. That's an insane power. But as someone that was the very first mutant born after Decimation, it kind of fits, right? And you can see the boundaries there where on Cable's side, if it was honed, if it was tuned, and her powers were used correctly, yes, it could save millions of people. It could save an entire race. But on Bishop's side, where if it's led by fear, if it's not tuned in correctly, if it's used recklessly, a bunch of people can die. A bunch of things can go wrong, and his future of having being branded over the eye with the giant M to signify that he was a mutant can absolutely come to place. So I love the fact that even with this, even with her powers and all the stuff that she's done, they still can't decide whether or not one side, like whether Cable is right or Bishop is right. You know, and that's pretty cool. Let me get into fun facts though. Fun facts, her character makes her film debut in Deadpool 2, portrayed by Isley Hirvonen. In the film, Cable travels back in time to undo the taking care of his wife and daughter by the future Russell Collins, aka Firefist. When Wade Wilson asks Cable about the burnt teddy bear carried around with him, Cable tells Wade that it belonged to his daughter and that her name is Hope. In the end, Cable and Deadpool succeed stopping Russell and burns on the teddy bear vanish, indicating that his family is alive again. In the future, although Cable decides to remain in the present to help the future turn out better than it did originally. Hope Summer is also a playable character in Marvel Superhero Squad Online, and appears in several cards on the mobile game Marvel War of Heroes. Hope Summers is featured in the mobile card game X-Men Battle of the Atom, based on the comic book story with the same name, and was part of the Marvel Legends Terex Build-A-Figure line released by Hasbro in 2012. Hope Summer is also one of the four mini-mates included in the Avengers vs. X-Men box set released in 2012, and Hope Summers is referenced in Dark City, an expansion to Legendary, a Marvel deck-building game. She is included in a game scheme called Capture Baby Hope, where the players have to prevent the villains from successfully kidnapping her as a baby! In 2014, Entertainment Weekly ranked Hope Summers 73rd on their Let's Rank Every X-Men Ever list. In 2018, CBR.com, which is Comic Book Resources, ranked Hope Summers 5th in their X-Men Strongest Members of the Summers Family list. In 2018, CBR.com also ranked Hope Summers 1st in their 8 X-Men Kids Cooler Than Their Parents and 7 Who Are Way Worse list. In 2019, Screen Rant ranked Hope Summers 3rd in their X-Men 10 Most Powerful Members of the Summers Family list. In 2019, CBR.com also ranked Hope Summers 7th in their X-Men All of Marvel's Omega Level Mutants Ranked by Power list. Screen Rant ranked Hope Summers 2nd in their 10 Most Powerful Alternate Universe Members of the X-Men list in 2021. In 2022, Collider ranked Hope Summers 3rd in their 10 Most Powerful Marvel Mutants list, and 10th in their 20 Most Powerful Marvel Character list. Oh, goodness. In 2022, The Mary Sue ranked Hope Summers 10th in their 10 Most Powerful X-Men of All Time list. And in 2022, CBR.com, which is once again Comic Book Resources, ranked Hope Summers 4th in their Most Powerful Summers Gray Kids from the X-Men comics. 6th in their top 10 X-Men characters fans want in the MCU list, and 13th in their 15th strongest Omega level X-Men list. I wonder how many Summers Gray kids there are for her to be number four on. You got Rachel Summers, you got Cable, you got her. I only know three off the top of my head. I gotta think. But what do you guys think? This is crazy, right? Like, she's insanely powerful. She hasn't been out in the media too much. It's been like little clips here and there. But where do we go? Let's go to final thoughts. So final thoughts. Hope seems like a victim of being overhyped, in my opinion. Like, there, I've gone and said it. It seems like so much was riding on her, and then suddenly it wasn't. It was almost like after Hope, there was a bunch of new mutants that showed up with much greater power sets and capabilities, and Hope seemed to fall by the wayside. I mean, the future, at least at one point, was depending on her, right? Like, which way is it going to go? So where do we go from here? What can we do with Hope now? If Hope is going to be a leader in the mutant future, then she needs to start acting like it, like yesterday. Have her head up a team in her own comic series, one that she develops herself. Like, she learned everything from Cable, so I want to see her strategy, her planning, and her combat expertise. Like, I want to see these things work. I want to see Hope not just be like, yeah, I'm here to support people and this. I want to see her headed up. So her power set's amazing because she can take anyone's powers, but she can also amp up anyone to their maximum potential. But does that make her relied upon too much with that? I want to see. I want to see some real character development from her. I want to see her angry because she has so much pressure on her at any given time, but at heart she's still just a young woman. And I want to see something real. I don't want to feel like I've gotten enough of that, and I don't feel like I've gotten enough of that from her. I feel like she's being put in these decisions, and then she'll act accordingly, and then it just kind of falls away. I want to see some real development from her. But what do you guys think? Like, am I totally off base with this? Let me know. Let me know in the comments. Like I said, you can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I post daily on those with superhero memes, so please follow. My DMs are always open as well. You can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. And yeah, catch me on TikTok where I post superhero memes daily under Superhero Deep Dive. And catch me on YouTube where I post superhero memes, but I also post 4 times a week with AI generated artwork. If you're into that, I post the deep dive. I post other random things. Please follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell, like, comment. If you have fun facts I missed, if you have things about the character that you like, let me know. Let's have a conversation. I want to know what you guys think of these characters and how you would handle them. And if you have requests for future episodes, let me know. A lot of my episodes are done as requests. So I am 100% about it. Let's have a conversation, grow the community, and really make a dent in it. But guys, I think I'm going to head out for now. I've gone well over an hour, so I'm sorry if it runs long, but I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone's happy. I hope everyone is safe. I hope everyone is smart. And if you're not smart, don't get caught. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.